All right, Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alborigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, great to be with you again.
Yeah, Dwayne, as well. I mean, I'm excited always to chat with you. It's our typical Monday morning call, and you know, it always starts my week off, you know, on a good note. So thanks for that.
Yeah, you bet. I love it. So I know today we're going to talk about a timely thing with regards to, you know, we're in our last quarter of the year, and I don't necessarily want to say finishing off strong, but we do need to have a plan to finish off strong. And I thought it might be might serve everyone well if we kind of went over some of the things that we do at the end of the year to be able to do that. And I know last year when we had started SchoolOwnerTalk.com, we had talked maybe a few things about these things, because I believe it was, you know, towards in November when we had started. So there might be a couple of things that we may repeat and say again, but there are some stapled items that all of us as martial arts school owners should be doing every single year. And I know right now one of the biggest ones is the Halloween passes, because Halloween is coming up. And it's still not too late to get some Halloween passes done. Now, you may pay a little extra to have it rushed to you, shipped to you, so that you can utilize them. But it's still not too late, is it, Allie?
No, not at all. And by the way, I mean, not to plug my services too, but I do have an incredible Halloween pass package that we do, and we can get them overnighted for very inexpensive, quickly to people. But you're right, though. There's some things that you should be doing. It just needs to be done, you know. And there's, you know, people forget. Like, they think, like, oh man, I did them last year, and maybe they didn't work so well, so I'm going to skip it this year. But really, that's the wrong thing to do. You know, you should definitely
be on. And they don't cost that much.
Right, exactly.
The thing is, it's a minimal cost compared to the return. And even if you only get one student that stayed with you for the full year, or even 6 months, or whatever your initial sign-up time is, that should have paid for what you invested, easily paid for what you invested in order to do the Halloween passes.
And you know what's funny? I mean, people think of marketing, and I've done this before, and I'm sure you have too, Dwayne. We run an ad in the newspaper. We get maybe two calls. Out of the two calls, one signs up, and we say to ourselves, well, that ad didn't work that well. And, you know, rightfully so, we would have loved to have had 100 people come through the door with 100 sign-ups, or 20 or 10 or 5. Anything more is better. However, when we look at advertising versus outlay, you know, transfer, what it costs us versus what we brought in, that one sign-up is total profit. So let's say those Halloween cards cost, I don't know, $100 or $150, and you get one student. Even if they join a 3-month program, you've already made a profit. Now, who knows how many other people saw the name, you know, that's out there, that are looking at it going like, maybe next year I'll do this. Or they may even recommend a friend, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, we have to think about that. And this is really important. So anyway, I mean, that's where you have to look at your marketing dollars. And, of course, you always want to maximize dollars spent. But at the same time, as long as you're making a profit, it was a good investment.
Yeah, and I like how you brought out the proper mindset on how to look at that particular, I mean, not just advertising in general, but that particular advertising in general. It's all about ROI. It's all about return on your investment. And,
right,
you know, yeah, so thank you for doing that and drawing that out. Now, I know you have an extensive referral program. Let me ask you a question. With the Halloween cards, does that funnel right into your referral program already, or is this in addition to?
Well, let me answer that question with a question, and then, of course, I'll answer it. So in your mindset, and I'm going to actually pretend that you're not who you are. You know, let's pretend you're another school owner. So shouldn't everything be considered a referral, really, when you think about it, other than cold marketing, which means an ad came from the paper and they called you, or your website? But anything else that is a part of someone talking about you in your school, you doing great classes and people loving your product, isn't all of that kind of referral marketing?
Yes.
Right? So you agree,
I should say
right?
No, right?
Oh, yeah, you should. should say no if you were the average everyday, you know, person who didn't really understand the concept. And so obviously it is, right? So for me, there are so many, and again, you know, there are products that I've released that are used all over the world that one of them is called the referral of a lifetime. And people would immediately think that referral of a lifetime is simply a way to kind of gimmick out a referral program. So the typical, you bring me a referral and I give you a gift. So any person, you know, that is not of any real sound mind could come up with something on their own. However, there are so many multiple layers of referrals within your school that you should be using, and they should all be done simultaneously and plugged together like dots on a piece of paper, that eventually you go from one dot to the next to the next to the next, and when you complete all the dots, it makes a picture. The complete picture is your new students. And there's so many ways. I mean, there's inside referrals, outside referrals, etc. What are you gonna say?
Well, yeah, and I like the name Referral of a Lifetime, because what you're doing is you're creating that student as a referral for the lifetime that they are alive, not just as they are a customer with you, but that they are around. Because even if, I mean, eventually almost everybody quits. And
right.
So you still want that individual to refer you when they are finished doing martial arts
right.
with you. So I love that, you know, the title of that. And you're right, it is confusing
yeah.
sometimes for people to understand that. So,
yeah, and check this out.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You finish and then I'll add to that.
Well, no. Go ahead, because I'm going to change the course here. So go ahead.
So before you do, it's the funny thing is that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, yeah, that referral program, blah, 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 it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, but what have you done to make it work? It's like almost like we're always kind of like these evangelistic gamblers. I don't know if that makes sense. Like we're like out there gambling and hoping to God that we're going to get the results that we want. And when we don't want it, we're still on cause. We're still on purpose out there being an evangelist, selling our school. However, we're jumping from theme to theme. And in England and the UK, they call it a scheme. Marketing is a scheme. And we're jumping from scheme to scheme. However, smart marketers look at things. And Jay Abraham, I once read one of his books, and he spoke about how he goes out and he markets companies for people and changes the dynamics of their business. He gets a profit on what the sales are, so he makes millions off of people's successes. However, he just simply tweaks ads. He'll take an ad, he'll run it, he'll test market. If it works, he'll do it and he'll tweak it and make it work better. If it works worse, he fixes it and recorrects it and keeps on going until the ad performs. It's kind of like running around with a shotgun just spraying shells into the sky, hoping that it hits something and something falls out of the sky. We have to be a little bit more systematic and organized. And the same thing goes for referrals. We don't just throw the referral program out there and hope that everyone is just going to come flooding through the doors. We have to stay on it. It becomes an entire marketing system. It's not a campaign. It's not a referral program. It's a referral marketing system. It literally can change entire dynamics of your business. And I would venture to say, and I'm going to admit it to it, even as the person who's an evangelist for this, that I could maximize it even more. And I could be better at it than I am. And my team could be better at it. Just think about it. It's quite simple. Take 100 students. If you could get 50 of them to refer you one member and you sign up 50% of those people that walk through the door, you get 25 students. That would cost you tons of money in marketing. Most people's advertising costs are anywhere from $100 to $200 to get people to walk through the door per person, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is something that if we were smart, that would be one of our most incredible focuses, that we'd be laser beam focused on that one aspect, because these are people that should love us. They're here. They're at our school. They're going to promote us. They're going to give our name out and talk to people, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, as an evangelist, I could get on my, you know, on path. And so let's change a little, right? So,
well, here's what I was going to say to that is, so let's say, you know, I'm the school owner that doesn't have a lifetime referral program
right.
or system. And so here's what I would tell you is, number one, it's not too late. Of course, you could purchase the program or come up with one on your own and implement it at the beginning of the year. It's a great time to implement everything or something new. with the new year, because you can use that as an excuse, which is great. So, but that doesn't mean that you cannot do the Halloween passes. You could come up with just a referral reward type system just for that specific event, meaning if, you know, one person, if they get one person to sign up, they, you know, from the card, individual comes in, does a trial, whatever, they sign up, maybe they get $50. And if they get a second person, maybe they get $100 or whatever. You can come up with that, but don't sit on this just because you don't have what Allie's talking about with the referral of a lifetime program for your school. That's what I wanted to say real quick.
Yeah, and you know what? That's true, though. So a lot of times the mindset is, wow, I missed the boat. Like, for example, you had said it just now. You don't have to start the referral program at the beginning of the year. You could start it right now, right this minute. There's no real reason in any way, shape, or form that you think that you maybe missed the boat because you didn't do it right away, because referrals are a yearly kind of thing, all year long, all the time. So you could start it tomorrow, and it'll work for you. And that's the cool thing. And then you keep it going all year long. That's the real the real important thing. And by the way, so you buy the post, you buy the Halloween cards now. You're a little behind the eight ball, but you get them out, right? But then you don't just do Halloween cards. Now you get on what we call a referral. And by the way, these are referral cards, these Halloween cards, because we're giving them out to our clients, and they're going to give them out to their friends, to the kids in school, to the you know, to the school teachers to give out in their classrooms. And by the way, I talk about these multiple tiers of how you get referrals. You know, you give out gifts to the mailman, and you give them out to the trick-or-treaters, and, you know, and that. But then Halloween ends, and you start it with Valentine's Day or Christmas, you know, and we have all of those things set up throughout the entire year.
Yeah, absolutely. So all right. So we need to get on the Halloween cards. Next, coming up is retail sales for and we could spend in multiple calls talking about this, but real quickly, let's give like a bare bone skeleton of the retail idea.
Well, again, so oh my
God! I know that you. I know it's bigger than that. I know, and again, we're not trying to push product here, but I know Allie has a retail Wonderland A to Z sales system, and it's not just only for the holidays. It's actually for all year round, which is nice about your system. But let's just give a 20,000 foot view on what we should do to capitalize on this.
First of all, let me put it in perspective. I would say, and I'm throwing numbers out there that I have no real statistics on, you know, because I didn't do a study, but I would say 75 to 80% of school owners, maybe even higher, are blowing it in regards to retail, right? The real big boys, they know, the guys that are doing well, they know how to retail, and they're making a lot. Like, and I'll give you an example. One of my clients in Australia started off, his retail was probably in the $300 to $400 a range a month, right, in retail. Then I got him to just change things, get displays, make his retail more prominent, add his supplies, you know, change the dynamics of what it was. And all of a sudden, he's doing between $18 to $3,000 a month in retail. Now, that might not sound like a lot of money to some, but when you look at $3,000 a month in retail, that's $36,000 a year. Let's just say on average keynote. A keynote in retail is your profit is normally the way you price out your items. It's 2.5% higher than your wholesale price. So let's just say that you're even at 50% retail, right? And you're making a 50% profit, $36,000. You've made $18,000 in profit.
And that's better than some months in a karate studio. I mean, that's better than what some people even gross for tuition in a karate school.
Exactly. And even if it was on a small scale and you only did $1,000 a month, that's still $12,000 a year. That's $6,000. That's a condo payment in your vacation home in Florida. That is a Corvette payment. That's a college fund, you know, for your child. There's so much going on there where we're tending to ignore it. And, you know, I used to be the guy who, when I first started, I did not want to retail. I didn't want to look like I was trying to sell things. But you know what? I slowly realized that if they weren't buying karate products from me, they were going out and buying it from someone else. So I said, why am I not the guy who's doing retail. I'm just offering a service to my clients. I mean, it's that's basically what it is. They're going to go and buy it somewhere else. One mom told me that. I literally felt bad because the kid was crying because he couldn't buy something that was on my shelf. And I walked over and I said, "Hey, Nikki, listen, mom's not ready to get this for you, buddy." She said, "I'll just get it for you later." And then she's like, I said, you know, I took her off to the side. Do you want to get it later? Because rather than him crying and being upset, just pay me later. Take it now. And she's like, I said, "But I feel bad. I feel bad that he's upset." She goes, "Do you think that he's not going to do this when we get home at Toys R Us?" She says, "You're saving me a trip to Toys R Us. You're saving me a trip to the local store to get, because I'm going to buy him something anyway. Might as well be from you." And I'm like, wow, that reinforces how I think. Right? Yeah. So we have to understand that this is part of, it should be part of your dynamics. And you should think about every client spending about, on average, $200 a year additional in retail. Right? So that's just a little under $17, $18 per month. Extra. That's not a lot. That could be drinks. It could be a shirt. It could be a jacket. You know, it could be fighting gear. It could be a cool wall scroll that you could get from Century or Asian World or any of those companies, from A Touch of Zen. I mean, there's so many cool things. So we need to really get on that, and it's got to be a priority. We cannot treat retail like it was a negative word, like it was a bad thing, and like it was annoying. And I walk in schools. I just did I won't even mention because that'll kind of give this away of where it was. But I actually have once went to a school 2 years ago and redid their entire retail center. I mean, took it from crap to great. Then I went back 2 years later, and it's back to being crap. So I don't know why people just ignore their retail. It's almost like a hindrance and an annoyance to them. And to me, it's silly. I've made millions on retail over the years. No joke, actual millions on retails. I mean, I've sold millions of dollars worth of retail in my 24 years. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Even nowadays for us, it's even more important than it was back when you first, I know you said you slowly started, but to realize that you needed this. But when you did that, there wasn't the craze of the internet that you can go and search for these products on Amazon and other things and just get them delivered to your house. And so we really, even more than before, need to be the ones, the go-to people that they always think of when it comes to that. And then that goes back into what we talked about before, that it's a mindset that we as school owners need to create in our schools.
Oh, and by the way, that is how I made so much money, too, because I was one of the first people bringing a retail store to market. You know, I was out there on the cutting edge with all these big guys. And then I have to admit, I took my eye off the ball, and I went and I focused on other things, and then they recaptured the marketplace and took it away from me. But I was doing between $12,000 and $20,000 a month just on internet sales, you know, back in 1998, 1997. So, you know, it was crazy to see how easy it was because there was not any real competition.
Yeah.
So
we've got the Halloween cards. We definitely need to be doing something with regards to the holiday sale for our schools. It can be as big or as small as you want it to be. If you're scared, okay, good, you should be, but you need to step out on that fear and do something with it. A product, like I said before, again, I'm trying to push it, but it's just so good. The A to Z product that Allie has with the Retail Wonderland would solve that problem for you.
Yeah, and again, you know, we made it our business, Dwayne, you and I, to not talk about, try to sell things. Our goal by doing this radio show is really more about helping people. However, I do believe, though, that there are some things that we have that are available and very affordable that we it's almost like an obligation of ours to try to get that out there. So if whoever's listening,
well, it's cheap.
Yeah,
you put it out on the market so cheap that it was ridiculous. And again, I told you this before, you give away way too much. So
right. I appreciate that. Anyhow. Thank you. Yeah, and that's important for everyone to hear, because you know, ultimately you and I want to help change, shape the mindset of martial arts school owners. Like we always, this coaches and consultants for years have been saying that you need to be a black belt on the floor and you need to be a black belt in business. However, most of the business owners are more like yellow belts in business and black belts on the floor. So we're trying to, you and I, we're working on shifting that dynamic. And I'm not doing it by trying to sell people a whole new mindset, to try to get people to shift their perspective or throw away their tradition or get rid of their belief system because it's not working, which is kind of total crap because you and I are both running successfully, highly profitable schools that are martial arts schools. They're not the newest fad. They're not the newest gimmick. They're not something totally irrelevant from what our dreams were. We have not sold out our dream just to make a living. We're still doing what we want and changing lives and students' lives and parents' lives one day at a time by doing what we love. And it's still it's still possible. And that's what that I have to say. I go on record that that's what infuriates me about a lot of the coaches nowadays. You know, even when you go to some of the bigger shows, you know, they're not really trying to teach people how to be black belts in business. They're just trying to sell them things so that they could make more money, and that's not what we're all about. What you and I are all about, educating and helping people, school owners, become successful, because that's my ultimate goal, is to change the world through the martial arts.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly. I love what, and I've adopted this for myself, what Zig Ziglar always said was, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. And
exactly.
You know, and whether other school know, you know, whether other school owners know it or not, what they really want is money. They want the money. They want the students, the fame, whatever. But really, if you understand, you know how the business side works, and you have these concepts and principles down, and they become second nature to you, it wouldn't matter whether you're running a martial arts school or what. Well, no matter what, you would be able to pick up and start over. Not that you need to, but I mean, even if you wanted to open up a second school or what have you, you would be able to do that or open up a complementary business because of the principles and concepts that you know and understand. Sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. And you know what I have to say is, you know that old saying they say about New York, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, if you
yeah.
can make it, really make it in the martial art business, you're probably going to be able to make it in any business, because people don't realize, everyone always says, it's not rocket science, it's an easy business, it's not that hard. That's all total crap. I believe that the martial art business, and I've run multiple businesses, so I have a background and I could actually say this based on experience, is that the martial art business is one of the toughest businesses to run, because there's so many moving parts, and it's such a dynamic that's very difficult. For example, you don't only have to appeal to the student, you have to appeal to the parent. You're not only trying to teach them something that's valuable that sometimes they don't want, something that you know is good for them. It's almost like saying you shouldn't drink soda all day long. If they love to drink soda, they're going to do it. And if you keep pushing them in that direction, they're going to get mad at you. The problem is they're going to quit your school, and that's where I find it to be just a struggle at times, to try to get someone to be a great martial artist when really all they want for their child is them to be rewarded a belt or rewarded, the next promotion, because they don't really care about the lesson as much. They just care about that false sense of confidence, you know, immediate goal satisfaction. So this is why our industry is tough, and it's about personalities. It's tough. You got to appeal to people in so many different ways. And then because they stay long, you have to change that over the years. Like Johnny once had no confidence. Now he does. Now what? Now we got to work on something else with him. And that's where we have to continually keep on growing as school owners to match their personality. Anyway, I think that it's a tough business. I commend every martial artist out there that's doing this, because it's a very selfless and difficult business to be in.
It is. It is. But it's so rewarding. It really is. It absolutely is. I know that we're running low on time here, and maybe what we can do is talk about a little, you know, finishing out November and December on the next call. I've got a couple of things that I do, what I call stapled items, that I do every single year that produce for me every single year. That's why I do them. And maybe we can share that on the next call. How's that sound with you?
Why don't we do that? Why don't we actually make it so that our next call is just like a punch list of 20 things that they could do to close out the year efficiently and effectively?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, because, Yeah, I mean, there's so much you and I could go over, and it's really all about getting people to understand what we do and the mindset that we're trying to coach them to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and end the call now, and, you know, guys, take action. You only have, like, basically 2 weeks left before Halloween, so you need to get those cards, and then you have, you know, really a week to kind of decide how you're going to run your holiday sale, but you do need to get on that. And Allie, if they're interested in the Halloween cards or what have you, do you mind if I go ahead and put a link on this post? I know they're not trying to push things, but I don't want people to have to search for it either.
Yeah, definitely. I have the flyer with all the different cards that are available. So why don't we do that? Why don't we put it on the post? I'll send it to you immediately after we're done talking, and they could order them immediately and get them out there. And I'll also give you the link for my retail Wonderland link, and maybe we could put that up there for them as well. And you know what? I honestly believe we have a money-back guarantee, so if they're unhappy and it's not good for them, they're more than welcome to get a refund and, you know, keep the material absolutely free of charge.
Sounds good. Well, everybody, hop on it, and, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. Our information is on the blog at schoolownertalk.com. Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate it.